Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone. And I'm going to start today by asking you a question. What if the secret to building meaningful, productive business relationships wasn't about saying the right things, but about how you show up? Well, my guest today, Tracy Poizner, works with high-performing women in tech and innovation to help them recalibrate their presence and influence. As the founder of Space-Time Alchemy, Tracy brings a unique lens to leadership, combining decades of experience in holistic medicine, coaching, and nature's intelligence. In this episode, we explore how a deeper sense of alignment and energetic clarity can help you attract the right clients, collaborators, and partners, not through force, but through resonance. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great. I'm happy to be
pleasure.
Here.
My pleasure. So I want to start by just asking you, your background blends science, consciousness, and entrepreneurship. How did this path lead you to working with high-achieving women in business? And why women? Is it just business, women in business, and tech in particular?
Well, that's so many questions rolled into one question.
I know. So you've got a gold mine to start with.
I'll sort of go backwards.
All right.
I'll go backwards and answer the question, like, why do I work with women in business? I have something specific to say, and I think that it lands with female entrepreneurs, with women in business, and the business that I'm particularly interested is technology, because what I have to say is really about the new technologies that are being created and what kind of consciousness we want to be in the room with those things being generated. So, you know, men, high achieving men in the tech world, need someone to help them hustle better and more efficiently. And women in the tech world need to stop trying to hustle and to understand that their native intelligent pathway is a different one.
Okay, stop right there just for a second to make sure that I got that. So men in the tech field need to hustle. That's their natural way, right?
Hustle is the default.
Yes. Okay. And so
that's
women,
the default
it isn't.
Success pathway.
And it isn't for women. Women are more collaborative.
And it's not that they can't hustle,
right?
But we're trying to get into like hyperspeed, like to get over the hump of why can't I get to the next level? And there is a kind of a natural ceiling or a, you know, when you're not in your in your own design, you are always going to be up against people for whom it is natural to move and behave in this way. Mm-hmm. And because you see them being successful, you try to say, well, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And you can. And they do. And there are women all over the place who are CEOs and executive vice presidents of whatever. And, you know, if it's working for you, that's great. But, you know, entrepreneurs in particular are very vulnerable to trying to do what works for that other person or for all those other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
not being true to themselves.
Themselves. And, you know, there is something about, you know, talking about feminine and masculine energy that really rubs people the wrong way because they think it's going to be about, you know, staying home and baking or else like using your, you know, sexual attraction in some way to get mm-hmm. you ahead. Like it's got nothing to do with that.
Right.
As you said a moment ago, it's about having a kind of uncanny skill at relationships mm-hmm. and at collaboration in a way that comes very easily. And as human beings, we tend not to value what comes easily to us.
Ooh, would that be really human beings or mostly women?
Oh, I think all human
Okay,
beings have
okay.
the same problem that it's, you know, in an maybe it shows up differently
Sure.
for men and women, but we tend not to value what is easy for us. And so you know, we think that the I don't know if it's kind of the grass is greener
Yeah.
syndrome or something,
Or
but
it has to be harder. It must be harder. Yeah.
there has to be a lot of effort involved, and we value the effort part. And that may be part of why we value hustle, you know. And there can be men listening who say, wait, is there a way different than hustle? Because would I ever love to get off that train, you know?
That's true.
But women tend to be big picture seers. They tend to be multitaskers. They tend to be relationship builders. They tend to, for that reason, be seen as thinking outside the box, whatever the box is for you. And that kind of thinking, being different than the one that's the default inside of the system. And all systems are masculine by definition, because a system is a masculine thing, you know,
Oh,
a masculine energy thing.
yeah, it's
Like the feminine thinking of take a step back, let's see the big picture, what's around the next corner, how could we do this differently? That tends to be undervalued. And so when you repeatedly don't, you know, get any headway from your natural way of
yes.
approaching things, it's easy to say, okay, well, if I want to succeed here, I have to do things in that way that's getting all of those people the promotions that I want, or it's getting them funded where I'm not getting funded.
It's interesting because my daughter just said something the other day. She's going to she's a VP in a tech kind of company, a manufacturing part. It's very non-sexy at this whole thing, but it's very forward-thinking, RFID technology. And she is going to their big end of the year sales meetings, and she usually has to do a presentation on something. And we were talking yesterday about or Sunday about Canva, and I said, I actually really like the templates in Canva better than PowerPoint. She said, "Oh, I can't even do that." She said, "I have to use the templates that our company, provides for the and my daughter." And I could see this. It's so hard for her because she's so creative and likes to do things out of the box that this is difficult for her. And we'll see how it goes, going forward. But it's like putting her in this box that doesn't work for her. So. Yeah, I definitely saw that on when we were speaking, and it made me think of just now of exactly what you're talking about. So how did you come to this? Let's go back to the beginning of the question. So your background, how does it blend science, consciousness, and entrepreneurship?
Well,
Where did this
I
come
have
from?
been an alternative health professional for almost 30 years. I'm a homeopath. So,
Right.
I've been a practicing classical homeopath for all of that time.
Yeah.
And I was a very science-based, a very medical model kind of homeopath.
Isn't that a contradiction?
Yes, you would think, right?
Yes,
But
yeah.
there, homeopathy is considered part of the field of medicine in many parts of the world. You know, it's really
Yes, okay.
only North America where it's can a little bit woo. Like
Sure.
in, you know, there are, I don't know, 100,000 homeopaths in India, mostly working as you know, as doctors in hospitals. And likewise, Brazil is huge.
Oh,
You
wow.
know, a lot of South America, a big chunk of the what people would experience as their home treatments would be homeopathy.
Okay.
And so I was very much someone who wanted it to be, I wanted to bring homeopathy into the world of medicine. I
Okay.
wanted to advocate for homeopathy as a legitimate form of first line healthcare treatment, which I think it is. But I was very much about the scientific part of it. And, you know, if you, I mean, you think about homeopathy as being like herbs and natural stuff, which it's not actually. It's a very specific kind of medicine, which is derived from, each medicine is made from an individual substance in nature, and it's very precisely diluted. So it's not putting one drop into a swimming pool and saying that's medicine. You know, it's diluted serially by a very precise chemical or chemistry related process
Formulas
of
and things.
dilution.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And for many years, I resisted the idea of like the spiritual side of what I was doing. I just wanted it to be all, you know, very medical. I actually applied to medical school like in my 40s.
Oh, wow.
At one point, I was really, you know, on the science side of things.
Yeah.
And I don't know, little by little, I started to see how charmed and interested I was when, like, other practitioners who I would visit for my own health care would do like muscle testing to test for remedies. I loved having that done to me, but it was
Yeah.
like the last thing in the world I would ever think of integrating into my, not in my practice, you know.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, you grow up and you kind of, I don't know, get some kind
Soften.
of wisdom. I
Yes.
softened
Yeah.
and I started to realize, like, you are being a hypocrite here. Like, you know, this is, what do you think you're doing here? This is energy medicine. Like,
Yeah.
get real. And so I learned how to muscle test. Actually, I was really lucky. I found a wonderful teacher who has since very sadly passed away because she was brilliant. But I learned a modality called Touch for Health, which is the, it's sort of the, what can I say? It's the non-professional version of applied kinesiology.
So it's not anything to do with Reiki or anything.
No,
No, okay.
it's not. Because it's not like sending,
The energy, yeah.
it's not channeling or transmitting energy. It's testing the muscular strength, the actual strength of another person
Oh,
in
okay.
very precise ways, according to the meridians, according to which organs are associated with which muscles. But the basic idea is that, you know, your muscles become stronger or weaker when you're in contact with something that is good for you or not good for you. And the same can be said of something that is true or not true. So,
Interesting. Interesting.
I
So
mean, there's
you're,
a whole, it's a whole
yeah.
realm, it's a whole world of study there, but there's a whole series of books. What is his name now? David Hawkins,
Okay.
who wrote a book called Power Versus Force in the 90s. And I mean, it's, there are sequels to that book as well, but basically he tested tens of thousands of people with this muscle testing method, with the idea that we all have the ability to kind of tap into a universal field of knowledge, and you can ask yes or no questions and get a reliable answer from the strength of your own muscles. So it sounds pretty wacky, but having learned how to do it, I started to bring that into my practice, and I would test my clients for a series of remedies. So, you know, I would have a normal consultation and I would write down whatever ideas came to me about what I would think about giving them. And then I would put those actual medicines out, and one by one, you know, they would hold the
Oh,
medicine and we would test the
yes.
muscles. And people loved it, just as I had always loved it when somebody did it for me, because when you feel it, it's a real thing.
Well, and if they're already there, they're half believing to begin with. right? I mean, if they come to,
Yeah, I mean,
right,
it's
they're
not
leaning that
necessary that
way.
they believe in
No,
it, but
but
what it does is that it helps their compliance in
sure.
taking, and it helps the let's say the therapeutic field in the sense that they are participating in their own wellness by, that like I let go. It's probably also a function of me letting go of needing to work it out in my head, like needing to be a smarty pants and say I got the answer by
Okay.
thinking about it. And
Yeah.
that's like a huge ongoing thing for me. I still have to,
That is huge for anybody. Sure.
I still have to rein that in for myself. So anyway, I did all of that. And about 8 or 9 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago now, because things are going so fast,
Yes.
I decided to move into the online world because my work had always been in person. And to do, well, the thing that drew me to the online world was that I decided to become a kind of coach for women who are stepmothers.
Oh, okay.
That is my own personal
Journey.
journey. I am one. I'm also a mother. I have a daughter who is all grown up now. My stepkids are all grown up too. But, it was a pretty fraught experience. And I had all of this training. I had all of this homeopathy training, which involved, years of study about human psychology and childhood development and family dynamics. All of those things were a big part of my practice. And I thought, oh my God, like what do people do who don't have that? I mean, I used everything I had. I used all the tools at my disposal to get us through
Yeah.
these years. Anyway, I started a Facebook group and I started a podcast and I started doing coaching and I really wanted to kind of codify things that I knew to be useful. And from there, I moved into coaching divorced fathers who were the husbands of these
Right.
stepmom ladies, realizing that they really needed a kind of support that didn't exist for them. So, yeah, I was like coaching only men for a while, and now I'm coaching women again. It's not anything besides where I feel my contribution is aimed,
And you're a con and I can tell you're constantly learning and constantly moving in the work that you do based on your past experience and your new knowledge that you're probably always seeking and gaining. So
yeah. Oh,
you're
I'm a
a
learner.
lifelong learner. Yeah, I can tell. Okay, so you talk about recalibrating presence. What does that mean in the context of leadership and relationships in business?
It means everything. I mean, recalibrating, it's a word we get a lot from like Chat GPT,
Do
but it's
we?
a really
Okay.
good word. It is a great word. It's like adjusting the knobs in some way of your frequency. And everybody's got kind of a reigning frequency that's what you broadcast out. That's what you feel from other people when you like them immediately or you don't like them right away. Like we feel those things. We don't necessarily always acknowledge it. Some people are more sensitive to feeling it than other people, but it's a reality. You have a frequency. When you walk into the room, you are either welcoming people to like you and trust you and respect you. Or you're sort of saying, I don't really belong here. What do I have to do to make sure that everybody here likes me? It's a different messaging that's echoing out from you. And as a leader, I think leaders very, very often have to deal with imposter syndrome, which they are just doing their darndest to hide. And that is such a different frequency than, the actual frequency of leadership,
That makes sense. Yeah. I can see that, especially
which
if
is,
you're the only woman in the room full of executives too. And right. And that can
well,
alter
yes.
that.
And, you asked me the other, just a moment ago before we started, about something that I wrote on LinkedIn the other day about, like, if I want the assholes to leave me alone, I have to, I have to change myself. And specifically, it's about letting everyone else be as they are and think what they think. And
And hold
it's
your own
that's the hardest
power,
thing to
like,
do.
and hold your
That's
own
where your
power.
power is,
Yeah.
like, until you allow people to not like you or not respect you or not listen to you, like, really allow them, like, even in your mind, they own
Instead of
you.
trying to fix everything to make it better, supposedly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's that recalibrating your presence is self-belief, and it's standing in your power. But it's,
Standing in your
yeah.
power, and the self-belief means knowing that, like, that you are the source of everything that
Yeah,
you
and not
need.
everyone has to like you either,
Not
right?
everyone
Yeah.
has to like you, and like, yes, things are gonna go wrong. I mean, I understand that. I understand that for women, especially, who deal with realities in the business workplace, that make it very difficult for them to succeed or to advance. You have to decide if you really, what do I want to say?
If it's worth the
Like,
effort.
play the game. If
Yeah,
you
yeah.
need to play that game,
Yeah.
then you have to play, but you're a hostage to the
Yeah.
game.
Yeah.
And if you can step outside of the game, it all changes.
So if you can step outside of the game to realize the difference it makes you f that you will feel, then you start to be able to give a better to understand it better whether it's worth staying there or not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not that, energetically, it's not that different from being in an abusive
Right.
relationship, right?
Right.
Like, at
Oh,
some
that's a
point,
tough one, though. That's a really tough one.
you have to, if you are never ready to actually leave, then you're a hostage there.
Yeah.
Like, the end
Yeah.
of story. Like,
Yeah.
there always has to be a plan B. And it might not look the conventional way. It might not look like a conventional path, for you to make your ultimate contribution, because you might have to pass through a few businesses or companies who, don't like it that you won't be a hostage to their game.
Right.
But I'm forever seeing amazing things on social media about, some individual who lifted themselves out of abject poverty and illiteracy into, some amazing leadership role or fame or money or.
I have to stop you there because something I said to my daughter this morning, she said, "That's not real, Mom." Like, are these things real that we're seeing on social media? We have to be careful sometimes.
It is true,
Right.
but let's say that there are historical,
Yes, I understand, but I just thought that was,
historical truths, right? I
yeah.
mean, like, I
Some of the
think
stories.
there are enough, real stories that
Yes.
we can focus on real ones.
So, can you share an example of how energetic alignment has helped one of your clients shift their business relationships or their business situation?
I mean, I have a couple of very recent
Okay.
ones that would be related to the human design
Okay.
stuff that I'm doing. I don't work with human design. I'm not a human design reader practitioner, but I've created some blends of Bach flower essences, which are energetic essences. They're not exactly like homeopathy, but they're a similar kind of energy-based medicine and not a molecular chemical kind of thing. They're not like a, it's not like a herbal preparation that's got stuff in it. This is
It's
just,
botanical, right? It's flowers
it's
and
flowers,
yeah.
but it's only information. There's no juice or fibers or pulp or
What do you mean it's only
alkaloids.
information? What do you mean?
Well, the medicine is made by replicating a process of nature where moisture condenses out of the atmosphere and sits on the petals of a flower. And if you were to put that on your tongue, you would get some energetic effect, some noticeable change in your emotional state or your belief patterns, the way that you feel inside. So this Dr. Bach in the 1930s turned this into a system, a healing system, really. It's for emotional and physical healing.
Okay.
And what I'm doing with it is making it be about personal development, about spiritual growth, about
Okay.
moving towards a desired state instead of away from the way I don't want to feel.
Okay. So
So I've created these blends, which are specifically for the five main energy types of human design,
okay.
which is a whole thing, and anybody can Google human design and you'll fall into a whole rabbit hole there, but it's really
Yes.
easy to learn what your human design
Right.
type is. So I did a beta test of these
Okay.
blends over
Yeah.
a few months. And I've even been working with people who are, in fact, human design professionals, influencers, podcast hosts, coaches, whatever. And several of them have said, I can't believe what's happening in my life. Like, I'm getting all these offers and opportunities and invitations all of a sudden.
And there are no accidents.
And there are no accidents. I would
Yeah.
say the same has happened to me recently, that things that I can't explain, of people finding me through roots. I mean, I have a relatively small practice. Let's say that there are, maybe dozens of people who have worked with me privately, but not more than that at this point. I can't say that I've personally treated thousands of people,
Right.
but someone just called me to work with me, who said that her counselor recommended me, having listened to my podcast or something. So,
Okay, that's
you know,
cool.
or that, sorry, there's my dog coming in. Someone else told me that I asked her how she found me, and she was Googling something that happened to have the word limitless in it. Limitless is the name of my podcast.
Okay,
But
perfect.
there are 20 podcasts called Limitless. I mean, I didn't research it before I chose the name.
Right.
If you just put the name in, you won't come to mine. I mean, it's not at the top of the list. But somehow Google and ChatGPT kept sending her to my podcast.
So there's, yeah.
And which she listened to my podcast, and she's not at all in my niche. She is a nurse
Oh,
who's
okay.
looking to start a clinic, she wants to start a wellness clinic. And but she loved my podcast and she loved everything that I'm doing. And she called up and said, I can't wait to work with you. So energetic presence is a magnetic thing. It's like a beacon that goes out and resonates with people. They find you.
Interesting. So it's the law of attraction in a different way.
It is. It
Yeah.
is. I mean,
It's kind of the same way because it is energetic. I
it
believe
is
that is
energetic.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, law of attraction has a lot of truth to it. And yet it's not, how can I say this? The way that I would work is not to try to change myself to match what I want, but to be as true to myself as I can possibly be. And the things that I want start to find me, because that is a very coherent state when you're true to yourself.
So remember when we talked earlier, you said something about well, I was thinking this when you said it. So do you I'll start with this. Do you know who Michel Loggia is?
No.
Okay, Michel Loggia is he lives in he did, I'm not sure if he still does, lives in Victoria, BC. And he was the original, not as famous starter of the Law of Attraction movement back in the day.
Oh,
And
cool.
he's an interesting guy. I've had him on my podcast and he's morphed as well into different things, but he had this CD I used to play in my car. Like every if I wasn't playing Jim Rohn, I was playing Michel Loggia and my two favorites. And Michael used to say that the law of attraction was always out there checking, checking, checking. And the other thing he talked about, which you've heard probably a million times, is the what is it? WTIFM or something. What's in it for the radio frequency of
Yeah.
what's in it for me? And you were talking about the energy and the frequency, and that made me think that with what you just said, that if we're trying to like he used to talk about being in that high energy frequency, because if your friend Betty used to call you and you saw her name on the call display, you'd go, oh no, she will just bring my energy right down. I don't want to talk to Betty right now. And so how is that being true to your true energy if you're that person sometimes, you know, like if you are down there instead of up in a higher frequency?
Well, I'm not sure if I understand exactly the question, but I like to refer to like your higher self, like the version of you that has stripped away all the stuff that doesn't belong there. That is a higher frequency.
Okay.
It
So
just
being
is.
your truest self
So
yeah.
all the rest of it is what I would call shadow.
Okay.
And we all have some shadow running in our system, but most people are run by their shadow
Okay.
completely.
Okay, so the work that you do, for example, with these women leaders would be to be aware of that and not let that rule them, but for them to rise above it.
Right, exactly. You just have to find, you have to find it and look at it. You have to find where you are. You know, where your self-talk is telling you, well, actually, all of your self-talk is telling you lies all of the time. That's the truth of it, all of it. But it sounds true. Like you think that you are reinforcing for yourself things that are true, and really none of it is true. So, the work is to find the specific places where you are in the grip of some kind of illusion that seems real to you. And that's, you know, we call those limiting beliefs. You have beliefs about yourself or about the world. Like you don't think they're beliefs. You think that these are things that are true about life, and you're gonna, you know, tiptoe around these danger spots to stay safe.
So when someone comes to you who's a female leader in business and they go, I need help. Where do you start?
You always start where you are. I mean, what is the current trigger?
Okay.
What's the present problem? What's the biggest thing on the list? Because you, it's interesting. The words that we use are so interesting. When we talk about what's current, like that is the current. That's the actual frequency. The current is the frequency of now. Like, what is that frequency and where is it distorted?
Yeah,
What's the
like I just never
distortion?
feel good all the time and I feel like no one listens to me and that kind of thing, right? So,
So you have to
yeah.
know what's the, yeah, what is it that no one listens to me? Is that the actual thing? And that's what we work with. We start there.
Yeah.
And I have, well, I'll just back up a little bit and say that a few years ago, I kind of fell into a lovely rabbit hole about archetypes and consciousness. This kind of what they call new earth consciousness with archetypal patterns.
Okay.
And I really loved it because it was a version, I mean, archetypes, lots of versions of that, Carolyn Mace and who else? I mean, it goes back to Carl Jung. But it's a big octopus with lots of arms. You know, there are so many of them and so many ways of looking at them. And I loved this framework because it's very concise and it's very boundaried in the sense that it's easy to work with. And there is a scale of levels of consciousness, sort of, let's say, moving upward to higher frequencies. And then there are channels of consciousness that cover the content of our thought and belief processes. And then I matched these Bach flower essences, which are exactly about, you know, essentially about shadow states of belief patterns. I matched them to the archetypes, and that seemed to be really, really efficient at helping me quickly get to understand where someone is blocked or held up in their thinking. And then to apply the flower essences that really kind of give you a dose in a way of the frequency that you're looking for. And it gives your own energy body something to attune to.
Wow. So you're going to work with the person in some method of coaching or to
Yeah.
uncover where they're at, and you're going to also work with the matching them to the right botanical essence to start taking and see how that affects them.
Yeah, and it goes very fast,
Does
usually,
it?
like
Okay.
in a
Yeah.
few days,
Oh, wow.
a couple of weeks at the outside. So it's a much, much faster, I mean, it's a more accelerated pathway to change than traditional coaching or
Interesting.
therapy or any, I mean, it's not therapy, but I mean, it's like ever so much faster than you know, meditation or journaling or things that, you know, really take a lifetime. We're used to the idea that it takes a lifetime or it could take years or decades to move through, you know, these developmental phases of our own transformation. And it just doesn't have to take that long anymore for
Well, that's
variety
encouraging.
of reasons.
Yeah, that's encouraging. So, if someone were to, okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up. I have so many
Yeah,
questions I
sure.
could ask you. And I think I'm going to encourage people to listen to your podcast as well and hear more about who you are and how you work. But if a listener is feeling out of sync in their business relationships, what's one small step they could take to start realigning?
Oh. Out of sync.
Well, they don't feel like they're getting anywhere, or they're, not feeling like they're operating at their highest level.
Yeah. I guess the first thing would be to know for certain that it is always about you and your own energy. And to whatever degree you think that your situation is like because of something outside of you, that's how much longer you're going to stay in that place.
Ooh, I like that actually. I think that's a very good answer because we tend to think it's out there. It's somebody else's fault, or it's not, it's the situation I'm in, but you put yourself there, believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess does a lot of, I know you talked about, I mean, science-based and all the training that you had, is intuition a huge part of it too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would
Yeah,
think so.
absolutely. If you think about it, all the solutions to the real problems that you've ever had came to you intuitively. They don't. The big breakthroughs don't come as like step 10 after step 7, 8, and 9, right? And the great thinkers of the world will always say that the best ideas come when you're on a walk or when you're in the shower or when you're
In the middle
humming a
of the night.
tune or whatever, right? It's accessing your, again, your higher self. There is a part of you that is streaming consciousness and is connected to some kind of source, however we want to call that. So the problem is that we very often ignore or undervalue what comes to us intuitively, and we think, well, that's a stupid idea, or I can't do that, everyone will laugh at me, or what if that doesn't work, it's just more about getting to a place where you can trust your gut feeling about things, or the idea that comes to you, like, in a flash.
I love it. So, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your knowledge, and the way you explain it is amazing. How can people find you?
My website is tracypoisner.com,
Okay,
and
I'll put
that's
that in the show
probably the
notes.
best way. I'm Tracy at tracypoisner.com.
Okay.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook.
Okay,
There are
I'll
no
put
other
all.
Tracy Poisners.
There you go. I'll put that in the show notes. So thank you again for being a wonderful guest. And I want to thank my audience for being here. And just to mention that relationships in business aren't just what we do, they're about who we are while we do it. And I think that's where Tracy and her work come in. It's a reminder that leadership, influence, and connection can all be strengthened by paying attention to what's happening beneath the surface, whether it's through energetic presence, aligned decision making, or the subtle influence of botanicals. Today's conversation challenges us to show up more fully, and in doing so, attract the right people and partnerships that help us grow. So, again, thank you. Thank you for being here. If you like what you heard, please let us know. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.